In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. I hope you remember that I've told you that there are no rhetorical questions in the Scriptures. Of course, there are questions that are posed in a rhetorical way, but you must always answer them. Every question must be answered. And so there's a very important question that is asked by two men that are possessed by demons. The demons ask it using the men's voices. And they say, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, Son of God?" That's really a very important question. One could say that is the only really important question. What do we have to do with Jesus, Son of God? What part of us is like him? Have you ever wondered about that? Are you becoming like Jesus? You should. That's the purpose of your life, to become like him. So what have you to do with him? Is there any part of you that is like him? Is there any part of you that's not like him? At the judgment, when all of those are coming up and he's saying, "I know you, I know you not," which will he say to you? Will he say, "I know you because you act like me, because you care only about love, you care only about the commandments, you care only about purity, you care only about me, and you know that there's only life in me and death in everything else"? Or will he say, "I don't know you, because although you were labeled as a Christian, said Christian things, said Christian prayers, communed of my body and blood, you're not like me"? That's an important question that you should answer. To give you just a little bit of history, when I had a conversion experience, it was the typical Protestant one where you ask Jesus in your heart. There was a change that happened in me after that, but the people I was around, basically, it was like, you ask Jesus in your heart, you're golden, you're done. I mean, it's all done. You've been saved because Jesus died for all of your sins, and that's it. It didn't seem like that was it to me, because I felt that there were still things in me that weren't quite right. In fact, were very wrong. I wanted them to be better. I didn't know exactly how to make them better, because I was around people that said, "Hey, you're saved. Jesus has declared you to be righteous." You know what? I don't want to be declared to be righteous. I want to be righteous. You can declare that I'm an NBA basketball player and it does not make me able to shoot very well or dunk. It's not going to happen. No matter what you declare about me, if I'm not those things, they're not true. So I want to be righteous, and I hope that you want to be righteous. So this is a very important question that you should be answering every day. What is it in you that is like Jesus? What is it in you that is unlike Jesus? The way we learn these things is through meditation, contemplation. And I don't mean sitting around and thinking about it. It's a Western idea of meditation. I mean prayer with our blood. I mean repentance. I mean struggling to follow the commandments. I mean ordering our life according to a code. Not according to an external code that you don't do these things and you do these things. Not that code. I mean that the code in the heart, where the Holy Spirit tells you what is live and what is dead. Where the Holy Spirit tells you what is dark and what is light. And where you develop over the course of time a hatred for those things that are dark. Not the people that are doing dark things, but the dark things. And you hate those dark things in yourself. And you desire to be all light, all warmth, soft, so that God would be able to mold you into his likeness. And he will do that if you make your heart soft. He won't do it without your permission and without your express participation, because it's something you're not able to do. But he will not do it without your effort to do it. So this is a very, very important question. And I see that the state of religion in our world is one that does not ask this question, or if they even ask it, they don't answer it properly. Even those that walk through the doors of Orthodox churches. What have we to do with Jesus Christ? It should be everything. Sometimes people who want to just have their baby baptized and then go back to whatever they're doing for their life, maybe bring them on Pascha or something. They call me up just recently. I had someone text me and she wanted to find out when I could baptize her baby and what it would cost. And I texted back, I said, you should come to church and I'll talk to you about it. She says, can I just talk to you on the phone about it? And I told her, no, you have to come to the church and talk to me about it. And if she had asked me again how much it cost, I would have given her this answer. It cost nothing and everything. It cost everything to be baptized. It cost everything to be a Christian. You must try to give everything to God. Now, which one of us can do that? Only the greatest of the saints did that. But we are still required to try to do that, to give everything to God, to answer the question, what have I to do with thee, Jesus Christ, Son of David, Son of God? Everything is to do with Jesus. So you must struggle to make Jesus everything. That's why if you're not saying your prayers regularly every day, it's a great loss. If you're not fasting, even such things as simple as you're fasting, but you know, you've got to have this or got to have that, got to have a piece of cheese or whatever. That cheese means everything is not for Jesus. Now, of course, I understand that there are reasons why people have to eat certain foods on certain days, even if it's a fast day. I'm not talking about that kind of minutia, but I'm talking that when you want to hold something back, you can't answer this question that you have everything to do with Jesus. And that's the whole point of life, is to have everything to do with Jesus. So we must struggle really hard to have everything for Jesus. That's why you've got to say your prayers. That's why you got to do prostrations. Because when you do prostrations, not only are you trying to be everything for Jesus, but every part of your body and your soul is doing the prayer. Your legs and your feet and your calves and your arms and your fists and your head and your mouth and everything and your soul, all of it is praying. That's why I talk to you about prostrations all the time, why I think they're so important, and why you should absolutely do them. And if you're not able to do them as far down as you can get them. And try to be everything for Jesus. And there's a reason why we must be able to answer this question, everything. Because there is evil out there. I don't know if you're aware of this. As a pastor, I have to be aware of these things. Even in the church, there are people who are ignorant about the demons. But certainly outside of the church, among people who call themselves Christians, they don't know that demons are real. Demons are real, and they are foul, and they are evil, and they are powerful. They're very powerful because they know you. They understand your weaknesses. They have those weaknesses, except that they never sleep. So they know how to exploit those weaknesses, the weaknesses of pride and of fear and of self-indulgence and all these sins, all this stuff that's wrapped up like a gigantic Gordian knot in our soul that only God can unravel. They know all these things, and they really do want to kill you. That's true. They really are going about like a lion, roaring, seeing who they can devour. That's really true. It's not myth. It's not just a story. It's true. There are demons that are trying to destroy you, each one of us. Sometimes the same demons, sometimes different ones. Do you know, I'm going to teach in the catechesis today about services and such. Do you know that in every altar, our altar has a guardian angel that's always there, that is by the altar 24/7. Every day of the year, the guardian angel is there protecting the altar. When an altar is either chrismated or when the altar has just the antimens on it, the guardian angel is there by the altar, protecting the altar. Why? Because the demons want to kill us. Now, God won't let us. I don't want to scare any of the children. I don't want you to think that a demon is going to come and grab you. God won't allow that. But what he will allow is if you develop a lifestyle that is just self-indulgent, then yeah, the demons will come right in. Now, whether they'll possess you or not, I don't know. Kind of doesn't matter. I think men and women and even children are capable of doing evil things without the demons. And then the demons laugh. And they're so glad when they see evil in men. Evil is real. There's an example of it today. So the Lord goes to the Gergesenes, it's by the Sea of Galilee, and there are people raising pigs. They shouldn't be raising pigs. They were raising pigs because pigs were profitable. Because people liked swine's flesh. They liked sin. And swine was forbidden according to the Jewish religion. It was not a cloven hoof. It was forbidden. It was unclean food. You couldn't even touch a pig, much less keep one, much less eat one. And yet there was a herd of swine, no doubt because they did good business with swine. Because, you know, roast pork is pretty tasty. And when all you're eating is a little bit of lamb or mutton, maybe you'd like to have some pork. Because after all, if life is about what you taste, what you drink, what you experience in the here and now, I'd say go ahead and have some roast pork and bacon too, for sure. And that's what a lot of people did. And so this was an unclean space. And there were caves and there were unclean. There were two men living there. There must have been part of the townspeople who were possessed by demons. It was as if God allowed all of the evil of that place to be incarnate in two people. He allowed the demons to possess these men, really as a witness against the sin of these people. It, very similar to the blind man. The blind man, why was he born blind? The disciples wondered, was it his sin? Was it the sin of his parents? No, it was so that the glory of God would be manifest. Well, here, these two men were possessed by demons so that when Jesus would come and by a word cast them out, the glory of God would be manifest to these people. Now, it didn't do these people any good whatsoever. It actually was it was worse for them because of how they reacted to it. But the glory of God was made manifest. And what happened after the glory of God was made manifest? The demons had said, don't cast us into the abyss, because they know what's going to happen. They're very sure about what's going to happen. And they don't care. Now, they don't want it to happen yet, but they're not going to change their ways. So they say, let us go into the pigs, because they like unclean things. They like filth. And they thought that they would just live in the pigs then, or maybe when he went away, maybe they'd go back into the men or do something else. And the pigs went into they became feverish. They became terrified with the demons in them. Real demons, not visible to our eyes, but absolutely as real as my hand. And they went into the demons, the demons went into the pigs. The pigs were so upset by this that they just ran in terror like a stampede over the cliff into the sea, and they were all drowned. That shows how terrible demons are. The demons didn't want to do that, but they were so terrible, so horrible, that the pigs were terrified by them. One time, St. Seraphim was asked, what do demons look like? Because he had seen demons. He wouldn't tell. He said, they are foul. They're terrible and evil. Now, I don't want you children to be afraid that a demon's going to appear to you now. That's not going to happen. God's not going to allow it. Your guardian angel is going to protect you from it. But what is most dangerous for you is not that a demon appears to you and tries to hurt you, but that the demons suggest things to you. They suggest, be angry at your brother, be angry at your sister, be jealous about what this person has, lust for this and desire that, and be lazy, and I don't need to say my prayers today, or, you know, Father Seraphim, he's just all crazy about all this prostration stuff. I'll just take it easy. Fasting is for monks. The demons say all these kinds of things to us, and they say them over and over and over again, and some of these things we begin to believe, and we have life in the here and now. But life is not the here and now. Life is preparing for eternal life. And life is understanding what is alive and what is dead. And the demons will always suggest to you, well, I can't say that. That's not true. The demons will suggest to you eventually and persistently what is dead. But they will also sometimes suggest to you things that are alive, because the best lie is something that contains truth in it. So the demons do lie, but they also tell the truth for purpose. They tell the truth in a dishonest way. They can't be trusted about anything. And we should be aware that they absolutely are trying to harm us. And like I said, again, because I don't want anyone to be frightened tonight and have a nightmare, it's not that the demons are going to come out and grab you. It's that they're suggesting to you, be angry at someone, be jealous about something, steal something, keep a secret about something, be ashamed about something and don't confess it. Those are the things that they're suggesting to you over and over and over again. And you must understand that the most important thing is what you have to do with Jesus and not listen to those demons. And they are talking to you, absolutely positively. I know that you don't hear their voices. I don't hear their voices either. But they are speaking to you. And they are trying to delude you. And sometimes they have a long game where they're trying to do things a little bit at a time, sometimes a shorter game. But they're always trying to devour you. And we see how the demons, even when they didn't want to, devoured the pigs. Now, I told you that these men were possessed by so many demons so that the glory of God would be manifest. And indeed it was. A light shone. But the pig keepers, the pig shepherds, went to their masters. Their masters came out and their masters were afraid because they saw the power of God, but they did not want to submit to him. They were ashamed, but they were probably also angry and worried that they'd lost their prophet. So they asked him to depart, and he did. So they answered that question, "What do I have to do with thee?" "Nothing. I don't want you around." That's what they said. And you would say, "Oh, I don't say that about Jesus. I don't say that I tell Jesus to just not be around." Oh, yeah? Really? If you keep parts of your life for yourself, in that part of your life, you're saying, "Depart from me. I don't want you here." You must answer the question, everything, when you're asked this question, "What have I to do with thee?" We have to struggle. We have to struggle every moment because the devil is trying to devour you. But don't be afraid. Because one angel, your guardian angel, can defeat the entire phalanx of demons. Everybody. Because God is more powerful than all of the demons, and God with one angel can defeat them. One weak person can defeat them. Any one of us can defeat the demons if we call upon Jesus Christ with all of our heart and all of our soul. St. Paul talks about that, right? To confess Jesus Christ. But that doesn't mean we just say, "I believe in Jesus." I mean, my goodness, you see rock stars wearing big crosses and living lives of excess. They're in a way confessing Jesus, but not living like Jesus. If you confess Jesus and struggle to live like him, then he will absolutely help you in everything. You don't need to be afraid of the demons or of what the demons do to men to cause men to hurt other men. The demons are involved in everything that's happening in our society, in all of the tainted politics and all of the tainted everything. Everything's tainted. The strange morality that people are preaching and the emptiness of people's purpose in life and the incredible psychological, spiritual problems that people are experiencing. Almost everyone is experiencing these things. Even if you're struggling as a Christian, you might be experiencing these things. That's not an indictment against you. That's just part of your weakness. Just like if you had a weakness where you couldn't walk well or couldn't speak well or are blind. There is also weakness, psychological, spiritual weaknesses that we have because this is an age where the devil has really started. He thinks he's winning. And sometimes it looks like he's winning, but I'll tell you what, he's not. He's not winning. No chance whatsoever. So you struggle. You struggle to be able to answer this question. My hope is that after I say something like this, somebody goes home and says, "I'm going to start praying the Psalter. I'm going to really fast better. I'm going to come to church a little more. I'm going to do something. Or maybe I'm going to forgive somebody that I hated," or something like that. I hope that somebody changes because of that. And that you understand what life is. Life is beautiful. Life is wonderful if we follow the way of life. If we follow the way of death, it's nothing but death. And it's ugly and terrible, and the demons will eventually pull you down. But don't be afraid of the demons. I'll tell you one thing to be afraid of. there is something that you should be afraid of. Absolutely. We should be afraid of our own sins. Not the sins in and of themselves, because God can forgive sins. We can repent of sins. But if we become attached to sin and we forget God, then we're lost. We should be afraid of that. That's why you should continually remind yourself every day of who you are by the things you do. Because it can happen. People can lose their first love, and they can become unrecognizable to the person they used to be. That's the only thing you should fear. Don't fear the demons. Don't fear men. Don't fear whatever's going to happen this year, whatever's going to happen next year, whatever new truths, secular truths that come out that are full of demonic words. Don't fear any of that. Fear that you could fall away from laziness, from indifference, from self-indulgence. You fear that. That's the right kind of fear to have. And you correct that fear by doing the opposite, by saying your prayers, by struggling to follow the commandments, by forgiving your brother, by forgiving your enemy, by coming to the church services, all of these things, all of it together, all of it, because that's the way of life. And then you can answer this question. Maybe in the next life, the question won't be so much, it won't be about, you know, you fed me and you clothed me and you visited me in prison. Maybe it'll be that you answered the question correctly, that I am everything to you. So come into the joy of my Father. God bless you. God help you. Amen.